today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872911.
Well, about this time yesterday morning, we're all, to say the least, surprised by the news that we had a COVID case in our midst. Somebody back to Cairns, up to Mareeba, etc. And the information was coming through in dribs and drabs at that stage. We've got a fairly clear picture now, I think. This is what it said in the Cairns Post this morning. A Mareeba woman in her 20s who travelled from Victoria to Queensland before testing positive to the Delta variant of COVID-19 is expected to be investigated by police. The woman attended the Young and Jackson in Melbourne, July 10, identified 4 days later as a COVID-19 exposure site. Now, Jeanette Young said that the student travelled from Melbourne to Maroochydore, Sunshine Coast, transiting through Brisbane July 13. She received an SMS from Victoria 2 days later because she had been at the Young and Jackson at the same time as a known case of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Now, the woman immediately got tested for COVID-19 and returned a negative test the following day. Cut a long story short, she's now in quarantine at one of the five hospitals with a dedicated COVID-19 unit after receiving a positive test result late Monday, despite the previous negative result. How the hell does this happen, given that she's fully vaccinated? I don't get this. We're about to find out some more about it anyway. Mareeba residents have taken to social media to express their outrage over the woman flying from Melbourne to the Sunshine Coast and then on to Cairns and the Atherton Tablelands July 16 instead of first isolating after getting that text message from Victoria. I won't go on with the details because I've got a gentleman on the line on television recently. He's been able to speak with some considerable authority on COVID matters. He's the Director of Infectious Diseases at the Mater Health Services and his name is Dr. Paul Griffin. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Paul, how does somebody who's been fully vaccinated pass on the bloody disease, the COVID-19, to somebody else? I mean, how can that person actually be tested positive when she's been fully vaccinated, apparently?
Yeah, so we know the vaccine does reduce the chance of getting infected, but it's not by 100%. So if someone's fully vaccinated, they are much less likely to get it, probably reduced by about half to two-thirds. So they still can get the virus, but the key thing is they are less likely to pass it on, but they're much less likely to get really unwell from it. So it's still possible to test positive. It's still possible, although less likely to pass it on, but that person is going to be very much protected by that vaccine and very unlikely to end up in hospital or worse. So that's how the vaccine works.
How much more unlikely to pass it on?
Probably, again, about half. So about half as likely to pass that on. So they're much less likely to have symptoms, which are conducive to spreading. They're much less likely to be shedding large amounts of virus. So it goes a long way to reducing that risk, although it's not 100%. So we need to be really careful, particularly as we're seeing Freedom Day in the UK, for example, that we will still see case numbers, but those people are much less likely to get really sick and end up in hospital or worse.
This woman in her 20s up at Mareeba must have had symptoms because she went in for a test to see if indeed she did have it. So maybe there was a chance of her passing it on up here. She's gone south now, of course.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it doesn't stop transmission 100%, so there may well be secondary cases, but we're likely to see less if that is the case. And even though she did have symptoms, according to some of the reports, they're likely to be very mild or much less severe than they would have been had she not been vaccinated.
We can't say yet that we've dodged the bullet, can we, I guess?
No, not yet. And I think that's the reality of COVID in this country right now. With our vaccine rates so low, there's an ever-present risk no matter where you are because people can still move around even though they're doing all the right things, as this person seems to have. And we're seeing, obviously, so many states now impacted. We've got cases around, and so that we will see some transmission and some spread until we do have enough people vaccinated that we've controlled that well enough.
It's funny, they talk here about hospitals with a dedicated COVID-19 unit. In fact, I'll read from the front page of the Cairns Post. The woman is now in quarantine at one of the five hospitals with a dedicated COVID-19 unit after receiving a positive test result late Monday, despite a previous negative result. Some hospitals have a dedicated COVID-19 unit, obviously others don't.
Yeah, that's right. It was decided some time ago that positive patients would be managed in those dedicated facilities. So, as you say, there's around five of those. So they're set up specifically to be able to handle positive cases and reduce the risk of any other transmission.
So that's five across the state, I'm presuming.
That's right. Yeah,
okay, exactly. They're not saying which one she's at. Anyway, that's fine. I'm not concerned about that. I'm just interested to know what chance there is of anybody contracting it up here. And you're saying, well, it's a reduced risk, we'll put it that way. Can I just ask you about this one? Official advice on whether the Pfizer jab can be given to Australia's 1.2 million teenagers aged 12 to 15 will be released in the relatively near future, says Greg Hunt. More than half of Australia's population will wake to a lockdown Wednesday. We know all of this. But it's interesting, isn't it, that now they're talking about this. Mr. Hunt indicated it was unlikely the COVID-19 jab would be extended to teens 12 to 15 anytime soon, considering the set number of jabs currently available. What are your thoughts on these, well, not children, obviously young teenagers, 12 to 15, getting access to the jab, well, in the relatively near future?
Look, it's clear the target has to be to try and vaccinate as many people as possible, and that will include children, and we've seen great data that supports the use of these vaccines in younger children. The reality in this country, though, is we haven't got enough adults vaccinated to consider moving on to the children. Given our limited supply, and it's getting better, but it's still relatively limited, we do have to use these vaccines in a prioritised way, and we've started with the highest risk people and the most vulnerable, and we're cascading down to people, but we're nowhere near doing the children yet, because we've got so many healthy adults, and we know those adults in those younger adult age groups are the ones responsible for the bulk of transmission, so we certainly need to get all of them done before we go down to the children.
Paul, are you reasonably confident we'll hit that 80% mark by the end of the year?
I'd have to say at this point I remain a little sceptical, but I think we certainly need to be ambitious, and I think we need to do a few things to really get this right. We need people to understand that, you know, the vaccine is clearly the solution to the challenges we're facing at the moment, and while they don't stop 100% of cases in terms of people getting infected, if we have enough of the vulnerable people protected so that they won't get sick if they get it, then we don't need border restrictions and lockdowns and all the things we're seeing at the moment that obviously come at a tremendous cost. So we do need people to just go and get vaccinated at their first opportunity.
I'm hearing more and more frequently now we just have to learn to live with this long term. Are you in that particular group of people?
I think the prospect of complete eradication is something that not many people think is realistic for, and that's been for some time now. Mm. You know, we're very fortunate to have vaccines as effective as they are, but I think, you know, until we have potentially vaccines that maybe do block more transmission, or you know, we have vaccines that are rolled out to a very large proportion of the entire population across the world, we simply aren't going to get down to that eradication sort of target. But we certainly should have the goal of controlling it, because the vaccines are tremendous and we've got great capability in terms of health systems in this country. So, you know, much better control should clearly be our target.
Yeah. This has been a very worthwhile update, Paul. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
That's Dr. Paul Griffin. Now, Paul is the Director of Infectious Diseases at the Yamata Health Services. Now, what is it? 28 minutes to 12. Here's Cactus.
See you.